Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC alongside Shaka Hislop, Steve Nichol. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to have you with us. We have a ton to get to in just a little bit. Julian Laurent going to join us with the latest reported offer from PSG to Kylian Mbappe. It is definitely going to make your mouth water, boys. Plus, we have the Europa League final set, but we got to start with yet another look back at what happened Wednesday between Real Madrid and Manchester City. It is no doubt dominating the headlines worldwide, especially in Spain. Us saying Real Madrid is from another world. Marca, a bit more hyperbolic. Let God come down and explain it. great stuff there from the Spanish press. For a little more perspective, why don't we call in a couple folks who were actually there to witness it live on Wednesday. Alexis Nunez and Sid Lowe, they join us from Madrid. Boy, must have been quite a spectacle to be in that stadium for that.
Yes, Evie, it was quite the spectacle. And here we are in the place to be. That has been the place to be all week, Las Cibeles. This is where Real Madrid come to celebrate pretty much anything. And they've been here already twice with their fans in less than a week. First celebrating when they won La Liga's official title against Espanyol at the weekend. And then again, they didn't even win the Champions League yet. But Sid, it was such a spectacle that it was worth a celebration here, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, bear in mind that it's been a little while since they've been in a final. The nature of the way that they got there, the fact that it was a third comeback in a row, the fact that nobody really truly thought that this Real Madrid team was good enough to reach a final. Certainly not when you get a run like they've had. They've played the champions of France, they've played the champions of England, they've played the current European champions. They've now got potentially the favourite in the final. And it was just an extraordinary night.
And I mean, the city has been absolutely buzzing since then. Even on, I've been watching the local channels and even the ones that don't have anything to do with sports, they've been going out to talk to the fans just to see what it was like, because as Sebi mentioned, one of the headlines has been let God come down and explain exactly what we saw. And I feel like even though we saw the city celebrating after they won the La Liga title, this time it feels a bit different. It feels a bit more momentous, doesn't it?
Definitely. And bear in mind that when they were here celebrating the league title, one of the main chants that the fans engaged in was "Si se puede," yes we can. Yep. Because of course the focus was, right, we've won the league now, a league title that they knew they were going to win weeks ago because they had such a big lead in the table. And it was really about saying, right, we've won this, now we go and do the really big one. Because Real Madrid's whole identity is bound up in the European Cup, but it's not just that, it's the way that it happened. And I think that's why this feels so big. That said, they haven't won it yet. They've still got a final to go.
And I mean, we were just talking at the weekend of the fact that Real Madrid, at least when we've been watching them on La Liga, on ESPN all season long, they've not really blown teams out of the waters, but they always seem to find a way to claw their way back. So how surprised were you really with this result? Because so many said, we know this story. We've seen it play out so many times already in La Liga. Fair play. It is a big opposition in Manchester City.
You know this because we've talked about it off air. I was absolutely convinced this would happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely convinced that somehow, even if Manchester City played the better football, had more of the ball, created more chances, I was convinced that Real Madrid would find a way through. Now, I'm going to be honest. It had got so late into the game and the gap was so big. Real Madrid still needed two goals with 40 seconds of normal time to go that even I had started to think, well, maybe it doesn't happen this time. I mean, so much. I'll give you the best example of how I'd started to think that maybe it wouldn't happen this time. When Grealish missed that chance, which it turned out was a brilliant save from Courtois, I must confess, I hadn't realised that at first. It felt in the stadium like it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, well, he's missed that chance, which would have ended it, but it's kind of ended anyway. The thing is that once Madrid scored the first, the whole place knew that the second was coming. And then the third was definitely coming.
I mean, so much so that some of the fans actually walked out early. Some, not a lot, because my section was still very much packed. And they started singing Si Se Puede. And that was something. You tasted that the fans actually did have that belief. They didn't give up on them. We watched them in El Clasico when Barcelona were battering them at the Santiago Bernabeu, and the fans went quiet. I remember we were even joking, saying, is this a library?
Yeah.
But the fans never backed down once in this match, did they?
And in particular, once they got that goal, which kind of reignited it. And you go back to the first of these three extraordinary comebacks, the one against Paris Saint-Germain. And the stadium then, I think, felt that it had gone. Because although Paris Saint-Germain had only scored one goal, the sense of superiority was enormous. Then, when Real Madrid got the first goal, that changed everything. It was like someone had clicked the fingers or flicked a switch or kind of lit a fuse or something. And everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it changed. With Chelsea, I think we had a similar sort of thing. And this time around, even more so. As I say, I do think that towards the end, there was a sense that, OK, you get behind the team, you stay here, you support them through it, apart from the few that went early, but it's probably not going to happen. But once they got one, it's like, this is the moment we needed to believe that another miracle is possible.
From what we're seeing of Real Madrid this season and this kind of never-to-say-die attitude and this character that we keep talking about, how much do we owe it to Carlo Ancelotti and his leadership, and how much of a factor could he be in as a leader going into the final?
I'll tell you who thinks that Carlo Ancelotti has got nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Carlo Ancelotti. Or at least if he doesn't think that, he keeps telling us that. And that, of course, is part of the reason for his success. He makes it about the players. He talks about them all the time. He essentially doesn't want the protagonism for himself. He doesn't want to be in the spotlight. And I actually think that is one of the reasons why this kind of thing can happen, because he has a trust in his players. And I think that even if that's not a case of building them up and saying, right, you're my leader, by trusting them, by listening to them, he effectively does infuse them with leadership, because he's giving them the autonomy and, if you like, the status to say, I believe in you to do it. At the same time, and I really do think this is worth pointing out, he's made changes which have changed everything. In all three games, both Rodrigo and Camavinga have been sent on around about the hour or the 70-minute mark, and that has really freshened things up. And I think we've seen a very clear example of the fact that Ancelotti believes in the players that he's got, but if not, he goes to that word he keeps using, which he always pronounces in his own special way, energia. Mm-hmm. He wants the energy on the pitch. He wants the legs on the pitch, the lungs on the pitch, those players who can keep on running. They started with four midfielders. By the end of the game, of that starting four midfield, only one was still on the pitch, and it was Valverde, the one with the legs. The other three, that famous, that historic Real Madrid field, had all gone.
Yep, imagine that. The man knows exactly what he's doing now. Historically, despite all Real Madrid have accomplished in the Champions League, despite the leadership of Carlo Ancelotti, going into this final against Liverpool, they still are being viewed as underdogs, Sid. But
that's
do you
fine.
Feel like this momentum's kind of on their side? Like, it's now their destiny. The way they got through PSG, Chelsea, Man City, and now up against another big dog.
Honestly, I don't know the answer.
You won't be surprised.
My kind of intuitive response to this is somewhere along the line, Real Madrid will find a way. Mm. But that is really just a kind of a case of having seen miracle after miracle after miracle and thinking, there's no way this doesn't get completed now. And yet it doesn't work like that, because things still need to happen. So take the game of the Bernabeu against City. Yes, at the end of it, we can all say we knew it.
Yeah.
And I genuinely do think that when they scored the first, we all thought, oh, there really is a chance now. But before that, maybe we didn't. And it takes things to happen. So if Grealish's shot comes off the line but gets followed up by Foden, or if Mundy doesn't get to it, or if Courtois doesn't get a stud, not just his boot, stud to that ball and it goes wide, then all of this talk about, oh, it was inevitable, we all pretend we never thought that. And post-event is very easy. But yes, I must confess right now, there's a bit of me that thinks, put it this way, I think one way of looking at it is to say the fact that it's happened before makes the fact that it will happen again more likely. Why? Because it's in the mind. Because it's psychological. And that plays in the mind of both the Real Madrid players and their opponents. So if there is a moment in the final in which Real Madrid can reach out and grab the opportunity, I think they will. The question mark, I suppose, is whether Liverpool can be good enough to make sure that Real Madrid don't have that opportunity. And Manchester City thought that they were good enough for Madrid not to have that opportunity until the 90th minute.
Oh my goodness, bring on that final in Paris. We are absolutely licking our chops for that one. But before that, Real Madrid still do have a pretty big one coming up this weekend. It is the Madrid Derby. Sid and I will both be there. It will be on ESPN. But right now, Las Cibeles has been a very, very happy goddess, because her team, Sebi, have been doing her very proud here in Madrid.
Guys, great stuff. Real Madrid 3-1 winners then on the day, 6-5 on aggregate. We have the perspective from Spain. What about the perspective then from the rest of the world's press? Because trust me, they weren't just talking about this game in Spain. Here's the headline from L'Equipe. I don't speak French, but I'm told this translates to surreal. Simple enough. I do speak some English. Daily Mail meltdown in Madrid with a picture there of Karim Benzema. So the world then is at least acting surprised. With us for more, Julien Laurent. Jules, the world's press is surprised at what we saw Wednesday. Should they be?
Of course they should, even if we've seen it against PSG and Chelsea. To do it again against City in a game where up to the 90th minute, they were not really, it was just not happening for them. City, without playing well, had that game under control. And yet to turn it around the way they did, first in added time of that game and then in extra time, it's just incredible. Because there's a time, a bit like what Sid was saying, there's a time where you think, okay, this is going to stop now. They can't do it again. And yet they keep finding a way of doing it again and again and again. That belief, that heritage, that experience, the faith that they have in their own ability and in the fact that this club has something very special in this competition, of course. This is their competition and they've won it more than anybody else for a reason. But yeah, that belief is just incredible and that's why it's carried them all the way.
What about your boy Karim Benzema? He carried them too, didn't he?
Karim the Dream! Wow, I mean, even when he doesn't play well, he gives you a goal and an assist. He gets you a penalty. The leadership is incredible. I just think he's that holistic figure. And they all believe in him and they all follow him. Like if he was a guru or something, if he was like a, you know, and he's just like, just follow my path. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to score for you. I'm going to deliver this for you. And again, he was not good. He was not good on Wednesday night. He was not the Karim that we've seen in previous rounds, in certain games. And yet he's got that assist for Rodrigo where you actually wonder at that time of the game how he can jump that high and just put it on the plate for Rodrigo. And then he goes and get that penalty with his intelligence and the awareness more than anything else. And then he wants to give it to Rodrigo and for Rodrigo to go to his hat trick. Rodrigo says, no, you take it. And then that experience, the composure takes over and he scores it and he slots it past Ederson the way he did. The Ballon d'Or is on his way. It's already in the post. Mm. I texted him today saying he's on his way. Don't worry. He will get it. But what an incredible season he's having.
Shaka, you know what's interesting is the man of the match for Real Madrid in this is Thibaut Courtois. I'm sure as a goalie you love that. But it also says something about how they advance, doesn't it?
It does. But it speaks to Thibaut Courtois' own importance in Real Madrid all season long, which we've discussed. And it speaks to the turning point in this game. Now, between the Mendy goal line clearance, the Courtois save late on in the game, the Courtois save again in extra time, it speaks to who Real Madrid are in this competition. And there's, as I think about Real Madrid and all through the previous rounds where they were all but out, and the only people who believed that they would get through were Real Madrid players themselves and Carlo Ancelotti. A lot of times when you hear football clubs talk, they talk about a project. With Real Madrid, it's about a culture around this competition in particular, a culture built on their history in this competition. And it showed that at no point, despite being second best for all of 89 minutes, despite question marks, I think in some ways unfairly so, around Courtois and that opening goal by Mahrez, at no point do they ever seem to feel sorry for themselves, to feel dejected or feel that they're out of the tie. That they do everything in their power to keep themselves in the tie. That game was all but lost. Mm. And then all of a sudden, the goals come Rodrigo, Rodrigo of all names, and Real Madrid are back in. And just speaking about the culture around this football club and this competition, and we've spoken in depth about the three comebacks in the three rounds of this competition so far, I don't think it's an accident that the second leg in every single round has been at the Bernabeu. And that has been a huge factor, just given that culture of the football club and that fan base as well.
Steve, you know what's also interesting about the result yesterday is that the game turns when that midfield three that we have talked about for at least the better part of the last half decade that has defined Madrid isn't there. Kroos isn't on the field. Casemiro's not on the field. Modric isn't on the field. I mean, that's not what you would have expected.
No, but at the same time, Ancelotti has recognised that those three cannot play in games like this for 90 minutes. But what What they can do is keep Madrid in the game, or as we've seen on occasions, they all play like 21-year-olds, because that's happened now and again. Mm. But what the three have done is kept them in the game, and then he can bring on the youth. And again, along with the home crowd and along with the belief, you're then bringing in younger players who are not scared. They just want to go and play. They want to run around, which is what the famous three can't do after an hour. And even before the hour, they didn't particularly get around the park very well. So it's something that he's recognised, that three will keep you in the game. And then when we need to go forward, we have to bring on the legs, bring on the youth, albeit talented young players.
Right, that's the Real Madrid side of things. What about the Manchester City side of things? On this show anyway, yesterday, there wasn't too much criticism for Pep Guardiola. Jules, I wonder what the press over there is saying about the Manchester City manager and his role in the failure.
I think you were right on the show yesterday in the sense that we can discuss maybe the Fernandinho substitution. Personally, I don't think that you had to finish that game with Rodrigo and Gundogan and Fernandinho when you had the game under control, when Mahrez would have been able to keep the ball, take it to the corner flag, waste some seconds, waste some minute. I didn't see the need of the Fernandinho. But anyway, whether you think Guardiola is at fault or not, there's still something wrong in there. The fact that this is his sixth semi-final that he loses. Yes, he's the manager that has reached this stage the most often in Champions League history, but he's also the one that has lost the most Champions League semi-finals too. There's clearly a lack of leadership in that team, whether that comes from Guardiola, who doesn't really want to work with strong characters and strong personalities, whether it's the fact that he coaches his team to always be under control, always have the game under control, and when they go behind, as we've seen this season so many times, only two games this season in all competitions, they fell behind and they managed to come back and win. All the other games, they either lost or drew. I think this is an issue as well. Whether we put that all on Guardiola, I don't think so. The players are also their part to blame, or their part of responsibility. But I think he's also made some mistakes, maybe not just over the last few minutes of the game, because a lot of it is irrational, but I still think that they buckled under pressure. You could see that. You could sense it from the beginning. And maybe he's also to blame for that.
Shaka, how much of this are you putting on Pep?
Some, but not a lot. And I say that I too question the Fernandinho substitution. And on the one hand, where you talk about Ancelotti bringing on the youth that he did, who have the energy, who have the legs, Fernandinho doesn't. But it's a moment that also calls for leadership. And maybe with De Bruyne, who I think is more the natural leader of this team, but he's carrying an injury. You don't want to risk it too late on. And you think Fernandinho can provide that leadership. So maybe that's the balancing act that Pep Guardiola has to try to figure out in closing the game out. Other than that, and I think the reason why Guardiola isn't getting the kind of criticism that Pochettino got or Tuchel got is because this is just such an odd situation that you just cannot cater to this in the way it happened, in the way those last few minutes panned out. And why, I think leadership was a big miss, and maybe why I think Fernandinho was needed as over legs is even when Rodrigo scores the first goal on 89 minutes, you're still going through. Manchester City are still going through, and that's when you're more in need of leadership than legs. And somehow that got away from them. Again, speaking about just the oddity of the situation, I was saying this to Stevie earlier. That second goal from Rodrigo, if Valverde doesn't get a touch, it hits him in the belly button somewhere. how does that get deflected in the manner that it did and hit Rodrigo flush in the forehead for a perfect header? I mean, how can you cater to that?
Stevie, at the same time, you've said in the past, Pep is a guy that like obsesses over it, right? Eats, breathes, sleeps football. What do you think today he's looking back on and maybe kicking himself over?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No. Manchester City should have walked this. If we can sit, It's okay after the event to come out with all those things. I'll tell you right now, if I'm Pep Guardiola, I'm bringing Fernandinho on. Mm. You know, you've got a two-goal lead and you want experience on the field and you want somebody who can defend. I'm absolutely 100% bringing Fernandinho on. So I am not second-guessing bringing Fernandinho on. I'm second-guessing people missing chances. I'm second-guessing my former Football Writers Player of the Year having a shocker in the second leg and Laporte having a shocker in the first, which has nothing to do with Pep Guardiola. Mm. Pep Guardiola, I said it yesterday, Pep Guardiola can't make a tackle and he can't put the ball in the back of the net. All he can do is prepare his team to get in those situations and deliver. And when players of their calibre don't deliver, you cannot turn round and point the finger at Pep. Not in this occasion. Listen, there's been others where we've said, why is he tinkering with the formation and all the rest of it? Well, in my opinion, he did absolutely nothing. He sent his team out the way that he has the whole season, and they completely dominated this team, and just by mistakes by individuals and a little bit of the soccer gods, as Shaq was saying. So, no. If I'm Pep, I'm not dragging myself through the coals.
I think if Pep is looking back on this, it's more, and wondering what he could have done differently, it's more on the first leg. Hmm. Because, truth be told, City should have won that 5-0.
But is that any different than what Stevie's talking about? They just didn't finish.
No, but I think Stevie's talking about kind of focused on the second leg. In the first leg, I think City were by far the better of the two teams. Yet they go back to Madrid with a 1-0 lead. But then there were certain things about that game as well that were just totally out of his control. No Walker to play up against Vinicius. Ake starts. He has to come off early injured. That's, again, nothing that Pep could do about that.
Laporte, 2 goals.
And then you have to bring on Fernandinho, talking about legs, to play up against Vinicius Junior, of all people. You know, if there's ever been a footballing mismatch, that's it. And that is just completely, and I say that you laugh, with the greatest respect to Fernandinho, but we are talking about legs again. And those are the things I think that make big differences over these two-leg ties. It's not just about the last minute. It's not just about injury time or extra time in the second leg. But this game, this could have been put to bed in the first leg on your home patch. Instead, Real Madrid are still in the tie and have to go back to the Bernabeu, where, again, we get to talk about and get to live that culture of this competition.
Can I rewind?
Yeah.
The one thing, Shaq brought it up, I forgot about it, the Fernandinho one, putting him right back. For me, though, that's it.
Okay. Jules, speaking of Pep, correct me if I'm wrong, I think his contract at City ends the summer of next summer, in summer 2023. Where does this leave him and his future in terms of the project there at City?
It's a good question. We don't know yet. We know that there were discussions about an extension, a bit like the one that Jurgen Klopp signed last week with Liverpool. There were rumours, which I don't think are true, or certainly I was not told, that Erling Haaland, to come to Manchester City, also wanted Pep to stay for a bit longer, hence the extension. If you're Pep Guardiola right now, do you think about your future? If you get offered the chance to stay a bit longer, he's already been here a long time at the club. He arrived in 2016, in the summer 2016. This is the longest he's ever been at a club, more than Barcelona, more than Bayern Munich. But like Stevie said, if Pep Guardiola sees this defeat in the sense of like, okay, we did what we had to do really, and we were unlucky to lose it the way we did because it's something that we can't even explain or put a finger on, then he shouldn't. He should want to continue because they're improving. They're getting closer. There was a final last season. This is a semi-final where, okay, they can play another 9 times and probably go through the 9 times. And they probably will have Erling Haaland arriving as well in the summer. So I think the discussion will continue between Chiqui Begiristain and Pep Guardiola and Pere Guardiola, of course, his brother, and Ferran Soriano as well. But I don't see why they should put a doubt over Pep's future at the club. If he wants to stay, he knows that there's that possibility. And why would not want him to stay? Because with Haaland coming, this is already a very strong squad. And you know what? I think you build your resilience as well. and they will learn a lot from what happened in Madrid on Wednesday night. They will go again next season. They will be amongst the favourite, whether they win the Premier League or not, but they will be among the favourite again to win the Champions League, even more if Haaland is there. And I think I cannot see why you would want to leave that behind and not stay for longer than just another season.
Bitter disappointment for Pep Guardiola, bitter disappointment for Manchester City. They miss out on the Champions League final slated for May 28th in Paris. There you see the odds. Liverpool, significant favorite. Steve, you seem to agree with it on the show yesterday. Jules, what about you? You see Liverpool as the clear favorites here?
I think they're the best, they're the strongest team. They're the best team. But after what we've seen so far in the last three rounds, Real Madrid are invincible. They've got something around them that means you can't put them down. You can't write them off. You can't. And that's why I think they're going to win this one. They haven't lost any of the last seven Champions League finals, including the one in 2018. The last one they lost, funnily enough, was in 81 in Paris, but at the Parc des Princes against Liverpool and the Kennedy goal. So I think they've got something very special in that competition, and I just wouldn't be surprised. I think it's 50-50. I'm not sure you can call it. I wrote Real Madrid winning it because I just think they've got this extra power from somewhere that comes down on them when it's the Champions League.
Shaka, who you see as a favourite?
I have Liverpool as favourite, which wouldn't bother Real Madrid in the slightest. I had PSG as favourite, I had Chelsea as favourite, and Manchester City as favourite against Real Madrid. So no real surprise that here I am sitting saying I have Liverpool as favourite. I just think Liverpool are the better of the two teams. And I think it's also key to hear Mo Salah speak this week about that final a few years ago that they lost and Salah was injured by Sergio Ramos and everything. I just feel that is a added motivation to Liverpool around this one. But know this, unless Liverpool are leading 4-0 in the 89th minute, don't start to don't take your bubbly out of the freezer just yet, because you know this Real Madrid team. What Real Madrid has done better than anybody else in this competition is punish you for not just your mistakes, for your half mistakes. If you hesitate for a moment, I don't think there's anybody who's been better at punishing you for it. When they make mistakes, you better make it count, because they don't give you much of a second chance.
I don't think you answered this on the show yesterday. Do you have a preference? Like, you can only take one, Champions League, Premier League. That's a tough, you take, it's tough, huh?
I'm going to say Premier League.
Why?
Because that's the one. The start of every season, that's your goal. Everything else is second, in my opinion. Maybe that's the way I was brought up at Liverpool, that the Premier League, or the league at the time, was the goal. Anything other than that, yes, we want to win it. Yes, we'll give our best. But it's secondary to the Premier League. So
you've also won more Champions League in the last 30 years than Premier League. Oh, well, not just Premier, but Premier League. So I understand that.
Real Madrid then into the Champions League final. They were hoping to get Kylian Mbappe over the summer as well. But Jules, we're getting some reports that might not be true. Apparently, PSG and Mbappe have come to an extension in the terms. I mean, not just financially, but some of the things we're hearing about the details of this deal. Tell us more.
Yeah, the Parisien are reporting tonight, obviously the Paris local newspaper, that it's not completely done, but very close, that everybody's very optimistic that Kylian will extend his contract in Paris for the next two seasons. We've talked before on the show about the offer that PSG made, €50 million a year in wages, the signing on fee, of course, of €100 million. Very likely the armband as a captain, and also the promises that the team next season is going to be very competitive with new signing, all of that. So we will have to see. I was not told this was true. I have to say, people are still telling me that he hasn't decided yet between Real Madrid and PSG, between leaving and go to the Bernabeu or staying for a short extension. And I want to believe that, but in Paris, like we've said before on the show, they've been optimistic for a while now. So I don't know if that was the message that they were getting through, or a feeling that they had in the negotiation that they had with the Mbappe family. Remember that Mbappe's mum, who is obviously his agent with his dad, went to Qatar, well, only 10 days ago, to meet with Nasser Al Khelaifi, with the Emir of Qatar, the club owner, to discuss Kylian and the future. So we know the discussions were very open and very engaged, but I'm not sure we can say right now that the decision has been made.
Jules, I was reading the article and just looking for some like clarity here, because I'm not sure if maybe I missed it in interpretation, but it sounds like PSG is almost offering Mbappe a say in building the team around him. Is that true?
Saying, I don't think is the right word, but I think they've said to him, listen, the team is going to be better next season, because that's what he wants. He wants to be able to win the Champions League. He wants to be the captain or the player who will deliver the first ever Champions League for the club. This is his idea. Let's not forget that he's a Paris born and bred. This is his hometown. This is his club. And I think before leaving, in his mind, ideally, this would be the greatest achievement of the world. And then he can go to Real Madrid and win loads of things with them, or Liverpool or wherever, Manchester City, wherever he wants to go. Saying in the team, I don't think so. However, someone like Aurélien Tchouaméni at Monaco, who is really close to Kylian, they like each other, they spend a lot of time together with the national team. If you say to Kylian, would you want Tchouaméni to come to Paris and play with you? Of course he's going to say yes. And of course, you know that maybe he's already spoken about that to Tchouaméni, or maybe he spoke to Tchouaméni about playing together for Real Madrid next season, because Real Madrid also want Tchouaméni. But I think he's the same with Paul Pogba. Him and Kylian are very close. Again, if PSG said to Kylian, would you want Paul Pogba with you in Paris? I'm sure he would say yes, and I'm sure them two would have spoken about it already. So if that means a saying in the team for next season, then yeah. If you means like, okay, who do you want next to you? I don't think he's picking who's going to be that in that team next season. But of course, this is part of the conversation.
50 million euros net, Shaka, per year. Plus, they're going to build a pretty good team around him, he's told. You turning that down?
What kind of question is that? Turning that down to do what? For what? Listen, if you're given... Listen, you offered 50 million net to do anything, you do it. Well,
even if you want to be at Real Madrid?
If Real Madrid... Here's the debate. The question is, how much money is Real Madrid offering? I mean, and when...
You're saying, what's the difference between...
I'm just told, right, so...
This should be a bit money.
My point is, when you get to that amount of money, you can't spend it all yourself, right? So you have to make a decision whether you feel, and again, just going back and talking about Real Madrid and the culture of that football club and what just being at Real Madrid brings, that's the balancing act here. But Kylian Mbappe, and while you can say, well, we're not talking about money, he's French. And how good would it be for a Frenchman playing for a French club to deliver the highest honour in the game? That also has to have a certain amount of attraction to Kylian Mbappe as well. So even if we're saying that the difference in the money isn't at the point that it makes a big difference in his life, that's a question that only Kylian Mbappe can answer, because of what that means to him on a personal level as a Frenchman, representing a French club. Now, if we're saying between Real Madrid and West Ham, which I'm hearing West Ham is one of his third choice, then that becomes a different debate. But as long as we're talking about PSG, a French club, I think that has to have an impact on Kylian Mbappe as well.
Stevie, you say it's not about the money. If it is about winning Champions League, then he would have to go to Real Madrid, right?
Oh, my point is, it should not be. If you're Kylian Mbappe, the decision you're making... If it's about the money, then I'm disgusted with you, quite frankly. This should have nothing to do with the money. This should be about his career. This should be about what he thinks is the best thing to do. And yes, of course, being a Parisian guy and a French guy and wanting to win, of course, that should be at the top of the list. The money, quite frankly, should be at the bottom of the list. Because if he gets 50 from PSG and 45 from Real Madrid, that shouldn't even come into it. That's my point. And all the other stuff's annoying as well. Your mum and dad's your agent. I mean, seriously.
I mean, that's everybody now.
Yeah, but it's stupid. No wonder nothing can get done and things are not clear. And then this other nonsense. This is so PSG. Supposedly, he's been told he's going to be the captain. Well, hold on a second. If Pochettino leaves and the new manager comes in, what happens if he doesn't want him to be the captain? And quite frankly, do you really want Kylian Mbappe as your captain? No, you don't. So This is really a PSG all over. Mm. Everything about it is kind of upside down. It should be about what Kylian Mbappe wants to do. Shouldn't be about the money or all this stupid nonsense about the armband or anything like that.
Jules, money or trophies? What do you think is the key motivation here for Mbappe as he sits over this decision?
He's always said it's not about the money, and I want to believe him. I mean, he's going to be super rich by the end of his career anyway, wherever he goes. So PSG are just trying everything they can, I think, to keep him. That's the thing. We discussed it before. So you throw a lot of money, you throw a lot of promises, you throw everything you can, image right, armband, all of that. Whether it's right or wrong, right now they're in a position where they feel like we have to do everything we can to keep him anyway. But for him, he's always said that it's about ambition, trophies, project, everything that Stevie says is right. And I want to believe him when this is what we're getting through. But is there a lack of ambition if he stays another year and has one more go at winning it and be the first guy to take that trophy to Paris? Maybe not. Is it the right time now to go to Real Madrid? Yeah, I mean, there's no not good time to go to Real Madrid, and especially to play with Karim Benzema. So, I don't know. I can see why it's such a strong dilemma and why they've gone over it over and over and over again, and why I still believe they haven't decided yet, because I think it's a very, very difficult choice to make.
Jules, what about the Real Madrid perspective here? They're in the Champions League final without him. Should they spend the money elsewhere?
I don't think so. I think if you can get Kylian Mbappe, now that he's 23 and he's already one of the best players in the world, go and get him. I think if he doesn't come this summer, and again, Real Madrid are still very optimistic that they would get him this summer, but they know that if it's not this summer anyway, it will be the following one, 2023 or maybe 2024 at the latest. But then eventually he will be theirs. There's no doubt. And because he's still so young, he's got plenty of time ahead of him. So I don't think you should spend the money somewhere else. I don't know what happens if they can't get him and they can't get Haaland either this summer. What do they do? They play the waiting game and strengthen somewhere else. Maybe, as we know, Rudiger is coming. They need the right back. They need maybe another midfielder. So they can then invest in those positions. And like we said, Kylian is going to come at some point. Or you're disappointed and you said, you know what, then let's go and sign a top striker and maybe try to get Haaland last minute if he's not so keen on coming. I don't know. It's a tricky one because they're convinced that he's coming to Madrid in the summer. So it'd be interesting to see the reaction if he doesn't come.
Great stuff, Jules. Plenty more from Jules on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Look at that. An autographed Benzema jersey. And Gab Marcotti rocking the Seattle Sounders gear. Look at that, all in.
I don't think Gab's a player's jersey, is it?
I'll stay away from that one. Gab and Jules, available wherever you download your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How about the Europa League? We got the final set. It'll be Eintracht Frankfurt against Rangers on the 18th of May. Rangers advancing past RB Leipzig. Eintracht Frankfurt advancing past West Ham. Jules is still with us. Time now to welcome into the show Archie Rintutt. He was at that match between Frankfurt and West Ham. Archie, great to have you with us. You know, we were going to have Don Hutchison on the show, but he refused when he saw you were in the rundown, because when he talked about West Ham's atmosphere, you just trashed him last time. So what was the atmosphere there like and the game itself in Frankfurt?
It was scintillating, Sebi, and it definitely pushed Eintracht Frankfurt on. I've just got to step out the way here to make sure I don't get run over. There we go. But it certainly made a big difference here tonight. And they are in the final because of their fans as well. What they did against Barcelona, both home and away, and indeed again tonight, pushing them over the line, they certainly got a helping hand from Aaron Cresswell being sent off again for West Ham. That was a huge moment in this tie. But Eintracht Frankfurt have been continually underestimated by their opponents. I think they were underestimated in this first game against West Ham. And this is a big moment for them as a club. Their first European final in 42 years, and a big moment as well for German football, showing that you don't need to loophole your way through German football, that you can be fan-run with 50+1 and still make the most of your resources and be successful. This is a success for Eintracht Frankfurt to reach the final. And yeah, the fact that they are not playing RB Leipzig, that received huge cheers in the stadium because RB Leipzig have not gone on the same journey as Eintracht Frankfurt. It's been a hell of a lot easier for them. And I think that, yeah, this is the dream final. If you'd offered this to Eintracht Frankfurt fans before the game, this is the dream final that they would have wanted.
Shaka, what happened to West Ham?
I think Archie hit the nail on the head. Once Cresswell was sent off, you just felt it was inevitable. You were always, West Ham were always asking a lot of themselves, as they did in the previous leg against Lyon. And then Hinteregger has to come off injured, and you thought maybe that's the little bit of luck that West Ham needed, that big physical presence to counter Michael Antonio, having to go off in the eighth minute. And then all of a sudden, Cresswell finds himself 1-1. The wing-back trying to win a ball when he shouldn't have, got himself in a tangle. Somehow, the referee showed yellow, but then reviewed it, and I think rightly changed the colour of the card. And from there, it just felt inevitable. When once Eintracht Frankfurt scored it, when they did, it became academic at that point.
Yeah, it seemed like West Ham, throughout the last couple of weeks, last months, really had all their eggs in the Europa League basket. Obviously, Jules, hindsight's 20/20. Do we think that was a mistake?
I don't think they would have finished top four in the Premier League anyway. So the only way for them to qualify for the Champions League would have been by winning this competition. And I think once Barcelona were knocked out by Frankfurt, I think they believe that this is theirs. You know, they had a chance, and they did have a chance. The problem is they got beaten in the first leg at the London Stadium in a game where they fell asleep at the start of the game, and then at the start of the second half, and then that cost them two goals. And once you go to Frankfurt 2-1 down, and Cresswell is as stupid as he was making that foul and getting himself sent off, and then you can't expect anything from that game. I think the pressure got to them. We saw that with David Moyes and his sending off. I think they had some chances in that second half, though they didn't play badly in the second half at all. But in those games, you win them when you don't make any mistake. It's just a small margin. You qualify for a final on nothing. And they made too many mistakes over the two legs to even hope to qualify for the final.
So Frankfurt then in the final will be facing off against Rangers. Rangers getting it done against RB Leipzig. Jules, how did Rangers do it?
Incredible. This is for me the story of the season. This is the biggest turnaround because they lost 1-0 in Leipzig. They could easily have lost 2 or 3. And then they don't have a striker. They play Scott Wright up front with Ryan Kent. They've got Joe Aribo as a false nine. And somehow, in an incredible atmosphere, on the day after they lost their kit man, Jimmy Hill, who was more than a kit man, he was the spirit of that football club for so many years, for the last 30 years, or 40 years even. And to play with a black armband in an incredible environment and to find the strength and the resources to really like turn over that tie. And yeah, Leipzig were poor and defensively they were shocking. The first goal, Angelino, is ball watching. What is Klosterman doing on the second goal? And let's not even talk about the third one. But yeah, they were fantastic. They fully deserved to qualify just on that second leg at Ibrox, which was incredible. But this is tradition. This is what the Eintracht Frankfurt president said. This is tradition. This is the fifth European final for the Rangers. The last one was in 08 against Zenit when they lost in the UEFA Cup final. But this is also where they belong. They went through so many tough things, so much adversity, having you know, to go through the third division, that liquidation, all the scandal, everything, and then to be reasoned like that, that redemption is incredible. And now it's a 50-50 final, but it's an incredible story that Rangers wrote with losing their manager halfway through the season. Player for the last quarter or third of the season. It's an incredible fairy tale so far.
Incredible fairy tale, incredible atmosphere, Stevie. Wow.
Yeah, and it's that atmosphere has been really important for Rangers. And the atmosphere in the crowd is what got them through tonight.
You think so?
Yeah, this wasn't silky soccer we watched in this game. We certainly expected better football from Leipzig, but I didn't expect it from Rangers because they don't have the players that Leipzig have or a lot of these teams that are in this competition like Barcelona. But what they got is a crowd that gets behind them, that lifts them, and they've got a setup of playing that everybody knows, understands, and they all give 100%. This was about desire and commitment and closing the ball down, mostly for 45 minutes, because Leipzig had no idea what hit them in the first 45 minutes, and that's why Rangers went in ahead. Unfortunately, the one mistake they made, and Nkunku took advantage of it, and I think they look as though they've run out a little bit of steam here, but they kept going, and they got an opportunity from a strange situation, a deflection, goalies all over the place. The ball falls to Lundstrom, 5 yards out, and he puts it home, and Rangers are through. I mean, you talk about heart and soul, and the story is about heart and soul, and that's what got Rangers to this final.
Archie, Stevie mentions the players, all the talent on Leipzig. I mean, this has to be, I know nobody in Germany wanted them to win, but for the people that care about Leipzig, this just has to be a huge letdown.
It is, but it comes back to what Stevie says there about heart and soul. For all of the talent that RB Leipzig have, they don't have that vociferous support that was going to carry them through in these moments. And indeed, after the first leg, Domenico Tedesco, the coach, criticised the fans, saying that, yeah, the support there wasn't good enough. And you look at those names, Christopher Nkunku stands out amongst them, of course. But I think it's worth bearing in mind that for this squad to play as many games as they have this season and go through two coaches trying to play different styles of football, that has affected the fitness of them. And you've seen, particularly in the last few weeks, how RB Leipzig have run out of gas big time in terms of giving the kinds of energetic performances that they need to give to get over the line in these competitions. So, yeah, it's a bad night for them, but it's one that is definitely being celebrated in many corners of Germany right now.
And Glasgow.
Oh, yeah.
One
half of it.
Rangers and Frankfurt then will meet in the Europa League final. Should be a great matchup between those two teams. Frankfurt. The odds makers say that Frankfurt is a favorite. Archie, you agree? Frankfurt the favorites?
Narrowly, but both of these teams, I think, what's funny is that both of these teams have been continually underestimated by opponents with greater resources throughout the competition. So I reckon both of these teams will want to try and make the other one into favourites because they benefit from being the underdogs. However, in terms of resources, yeah, Frankfurt are the favourites.
Stevie, any chance for Rangers?
Well, they've already knocked Dortmund out and they've knocked Leipzig out. So why don't they do the same to Frankfurt? So, yes, Frankfurt are favourites.
What do you think, Shaka?
I'm hoping that Rangers win just so I don't have to listen to Jan. Oh, goodness me. If everybody's upset at RB Leipzig in Germany, can you imagine Jan if Eintracht Frankfurt wins? In all honesty, listen, I think Eintracht Frankfurt are favourites and rightly so. They're the better of the two footballing teams. If this game is played purely on emotion, I think Rangers win it. But you need a little more than that to win a final. It'll get you so far. It got them over the line in the semi-final. But for the final, I think Eintracht Frankfurt go in as favourites, unless Rangers can make this about physicality and about that emotion.
Jules, last word on this to you. Do you think the 11th place team in the Bundesliga is a favourite over Rangers?
Yeah, I agree with the boys, but really slightly. I think those finals, again, thin margin, they're going to be won on nothing, on details. But if you're Rangers and you've just knocked out, as Stevie said, Dortmund, who are second in the Bundesliga, Leipzig, who are fourth or fifth, but with a chance to finish in the top four, and now you face a Frankfurt team that had won one game at home before tonight in 2022, you have to go and believe in yourself. If you don't believe now, you will never believe that you can win over one game. So I think Rangers can definitely do it, but yeah, we have to give it to Frankfurt to be a slight favourite.
Europa League final then on May 18th. You thought you were excited about the Europa League.
Ooh.
What about the Europa Conference League?
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Can you imagine if Mourinho wins this?
That's exactly what we were saying in the green room.
Please, Feyenoord, please.
It'll be Roma and Feyenoord then in the final on May 25th.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
An amazing, historic night in Seattle as the Sounders beat Pumas 3-0 in the second leg, 5-2 on aggregate. And there's the celebrations. That's the shot everybody wants. Brian Schmetzer and company celebrating there at Lumen Field. They are the first team from MLS to ever win the CONCACAF Champions League. There have been other teams that have won the CONCACAF Champions Cup back in the day, but no MLS team has ever won the CCL until Seattle did it on Wednesday night. For more reaction from Seattle, let's hear from their head coach, Brian Schmetzer.
This was going to happen at some point. Yes, I feel fortunate that I'm with a really strong organization, forward-thinking, you know, proactive organization, and I had a chance to do it, yes. But I think there's going to be more success following our success. So, again, I would hark back to, you know, give me 6 months. Let me get past Dallas again. Let me get past the Open Cup game at Starfire, which is going to be a big deal. Let me get through some of those games, and I can maybe reflect a little bit more.
All right, Stevie, this is something that MLS as a league has been chasing since mm-hmm. you were coaching. Just how big a deal is it, you think?
Well, I strangely don't think it's as big a deal as it would have been maybe 10 years ago.
Why?
Well, because the fact is that MLS and Liga MX is actually beginning to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, 10 years ago, the salaries and all the other things that the Mexicans had over the MLS sides meant that when it came to the big game, the Mexicans had too many better players. Mm-hmm. That has gone the other way, in my opinion, now. I think the gap has closed so much now that, and Brian's saying there, that it's a matter of time before we win it again. And I agree with him, because I think in the not too distant future, you won't be able to tell the difference in the quality in the leagues. I think they're that close now.
Mm. How different is the approach to CCL from within MLS now? Obviously, they take it very serious now to when you were managing.
Well, again, 10 years ago, the squad depth, although it was there in numbers, wasn't there in quality. And so you when you're playing in the Champions League, you're trying to win, so you're still trying to win to get into the playoffs, and so nobody's getting a rest. Most teams had a start on 11, or if you were lucky, 13. That's not the case now. Mm. MLS teams now can rest players before Champions League games and still win in MLS. And so basically everything is becoming a level playing field, because as I said, 10 years ago and previous, it wasn't a level playing field. And so it shouldn't have been that big a surprise when MLS teams didn't win it. Now, especially now that the dam's burst, you can expect to see more MLS sides winning it.
It'll be the first time, Shaka, we see an MLS team at the FIFA Club World Cup. Does that matter?
I think it does. And this is where I'll not see it differently, but phrase it differently from Stevie. It's a big deal because it signifies how much that gap has closed. between MLS and Liga MX. Not that the disparity that we saw 10 years ago, that would have been a real kind of fairy tale story. Now it shows how the league continues to grow in quality of the squads as much as anything. And then that added platform of as much as in Europe, certainly on this desk, we don't pay a lot of attention to the Club World Cup. I think it's significant in the continued growth and development of Major League Soccer to compete at that level against some of the world's best football clubs. Those things matter when you are growing up.
All right, we're going to have plenty more on this on tonight's edition of Football America. It's coming your way live on ESPN Plus at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. It'll be me, former Seattle Sounder Hercules Gomez. We'll also be joined by Stephen Fry, the goalie for the now CONCACAF Champions League winners, Seattle Sounders.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, Shaq, it's time for your weekly power rankings.
On a European European night, Sebi, you know European clubs, if even the Europa Conference League get a mention in Feyenoord and Roma, Seattle Sounders are in.
I think that's history.
It is history. It is a big deal. I keep trying to tell you that. And at the end of the season, when leagues are won and everybody's losing, Bayern lose, PSG draw, you understand why.
Say you lost.
Yeah, but they're still top of their domestic league and they lost to Real Madrid. That was a narrow loss. And my point being that everybody else is losing. Understandably, their leagues are won. So I had to give City a little bit of benefit of the doubt, given how they lost and who they lost to.
I would also have Seattle a little higher.
Really?
Well, considering the fact that they've just broken the dam in Champions League, whereas Milan, I mean, why did Milan deserve to be above Seattle?
Well, they're in great form, Milan. Of all the teams on there, they're in great form, sitting top of Serie A.
Look how serious his face is there as well. I mean, he's looking at me like that, going, yes, they're in very good form. Quite frankly, they deserve to be in. Yeah, right. What a lot of very twaddle.
Jules is still with us as well. You had a look at the top 10, the power rankings there. Seattle at 7, Rangers at 3. What are you focused on?
Yeah, I think it's terrible, of course, as always, much every week. I mean, Ajax are there in 6th. They've just lost the Dutch final. I'm not really sure why they're there. They're not even in Europe because usually when there's European games before, Shaka find it easy. Say, okay, who won in Europe in the Champions League, the Europa League? Uh-huh. And then he put them all, which he's done a bit today again. Olympiacos won their league. They're not in there. Trabzonspor won their league. They're not in there. So I'm not really sure. But again, I'm sure he's going to tell us it's the data. It's all about the data and the computer. So, you know.
Tell you what. It sounds to me as though Jules wants to do the power rankings.
Well,
I think we should give him a chance.
I have made that offer many a time, Stephen.
I think we should give Jules a chance, if you ask me.
All right, we'll talk to the bosses. maybe next week it'll be Jules.
Show me the
power
money.
Rankings.
Show me the money.
We will.
For 50 million. For 50 million net.
Net. 50 million euros net.
Get out, Kilian.
That's how much we had to pay Jules to stick around for today's edition of Extra Time. We got Shaka, Stevie, and Jules taking your questions. Stevie, apparently on yesterday's edition of the show, pointing very, very angrily at the camera. What was that about?
I have no idea.
You were fired up about it then.
That was yesterday. Today's another day.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of ESPN FC. Gentlemen, as always, a pleasure to be with you. But do not go far, because we got lots of questions from the good people on Twitter. Extra Time starts now here on ESPN Plus. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this edition of Extra Time here on ESPN FC. This is not me leaving in frustration. I'm just going to get the questions.
Hey, don't bother.
Come on, take him, Steve.
Don't bother coming back.
Just read him off the screen.
Right, thanks, viewers, for all your questions.
Now, let's hear the hey there, then.
I've got some great news. Seb's not coming back. Unfortunately, he's changed his mind. So I'll ship back.
Production, I do not have the questions yet. They have not printed. Well, did you email them?
Make things up. You usually do.
All right, let's throw them up on the television screen then, and I'll do my best to read, which is also not a forte of mine. Madara asks, Shaka, how is Manchester City's case different from PSG? They have spent more than PSG, collapsed on several occasions against Spurs, Lyon, Monaco, Real Madrid, etc. Have the same Champions League record as PSG. Is it because people watch the Premier League, they get away with the criticism? Ooh.
No, as I said during the show, I think Manchester City and Pep Guardiola have come in for less criticism than Pochettino and PSG, simply because they managed the defeat. Conceding two goals in injury time. Okay, the first is what, 89-40 or wherever it was, and then the second. It's just so, how do you cater for that? And I think as much as you credit Real Madrid for just kind of hanging around as they did, it's not a lot you can do about that. And I felt it was different around PSG. And while I understand the point about the spending, PSG boast three of the top five players, shall we say? I think we can comfortably say three top five players in world football in their front three. So to go out in the manner that they did, you're coming for more criticism. And then just by nature of it being a semi-final as opposed to a round of 16 game, of course, you know, if you're PSG, you get more criticism for that.
If there was ever a question for Jules, it's certainly this next one. Which Frenchman was your man of the match for Madrid against City last night? Karim the Dream, Mendy, or Camavinga?
Uh-oh.
I mean, I love what Camavinga brought when he came on. Sid said earlier on the show that pretty much every time he's come on against PSG, against Chelsea and against City, he made a difference and kind of changed the games, which is true. He's only 19 and he plays with so much maturity. He's not ready yet for 90 minutes like that. But for 20, 25, 30 minutes, sometimes a little bit more like yesterday, then I think he's perfect. But Karim the Dream, I mean, come on, has been the player of the season, the player of this tournament, the player of the knockout stages, not just with the goals.
During the show, Jules said Karim didn't play well.
The three of you right now say Karim the Dream.
During the show, you, Julian Aron, said Karim didn't play well, correct. Took his penalty so well. It just feels like you're trying to force that square peg into this round hole, Jules.
Without Mendy, Karim the Dream and Camavinga are immaterial in this game.
Really? Because without that save, it doesn't matter.
If Mendy doesn't clear it off the line, then the both of them become immaterial. So it has to be.
So Mendy. It sounds like you
in
think
in this game it's Mendy.
In this game, it sounds like you think Karim is third in that list of Frenchmen, influential Frenchmen.
No, where did you get that from?
I'm just. I was trying to extrapolate from what you said.
No, I would say Karim the Dream would be second.
Well, I think Karim the Dream is third.
So because Mendy's first, because without Mendy, Karim the Dream doesn't get an assist and a goal. And Camavinga doesn't get the opportunity to play some balls.
Camavinga plays a part in all three goals. I'm going to go Camavinga.
But it doesn't matter. If Mendy doesn't clear it off the line, it doesn't matter what Camavinga or Karim.
It matters because if Karim is third, Jules won't sleep well tonight.
Right. So it's a chicken or the egg, right?
I'm not sure how we get to a chicken and an egg, but okay.
In no part of the question did anybody ask for ranking. Natum's interior decorator. For Stevie, if Rangers win the Europa League final, where would that rank amongst the club's greatest achievements?
Oh my goodness. Well, Jules talked about it on the show. Considering that the Rangers got relegated to the third division of Scottish football, in such a short space of time, to win a major European trophy. Mm. If we're talking major, as in Mourinho majors, that is, what an absolute incredible turnaround. I mean, that is story time, big time.
I like the subcategory, Mourinho majors.
Mourinho majors.
I mean, that's what it is, isn't it?
It's major.
Hey, by the way, just so you know, I remember sitting in the house as a 10-year-old, watching Rangers win the last European trophy, and their only European trophy.
What was that, 20 years ago, 30 years ago?
50 years ago.
And actually, should we tell him, you could basically name the starting 11. I think you missed one.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. He says he remembers sitting in this house as a 10-year-old and you asked if it's 20 or 30.
I was trying to be nice to our...
No, don't be nice. You okay. Get no points for being nice on this show,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, no, I know
I
that.
I straight off the bat named 9 of the 11 from 50 years ago. I needed a little help with one. And I could only name about 4 of the Rangers players
I was about to say, I bet you can't name 9-11 from 50 minutes ago.
The mysteries of Stevie's mind. To the guys, did you ever get an early red card in a big game?
Never got a red card.
Yeah, never.
Nope.
Chaka?
I got 2.
Were they early?
Yeah. I got sent off for West Ham playing against Middlesbrough up at Borough. And I got sent off in the first half, West Ham against Chelsea at Upton Park. Got sent off in the first half.
For doing what?
Bringing down Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Did he dive?
Dive.
Nah, there it is.
Dive.
Jimmy could dive.
All right, great stuff, guys. That's it. That was it.
You opened up with got lots of questions
lots
on Twitter.
Lots of questions. He just wanted an excuse to run over there somewhere.
I think we've had 3 or 4.
If we had 20 questions, you guys would be complaining about how many questions we had. We have 4 and you're not complaining.
It's a good job I threw in that story about the Rangers team, otherwise you'd be like wasting our time.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's talk about Karim the Dream some more, shall we?
We may.
Let's upset Jules some more.
We may well do that on tomorrow's edition of the show. A reminder, ESPNFC available for you 7 days a week on ESPN+.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.